But I get the privilege tonight of just bringing the Word of God for a few moments. And then we're going to get some worship going again, because I really believe that what is on my heart tonight, it's not one of those kind of their words. You know, like sometimes you get a women's events and it's a bit of a warrior word. So going on the theme, Scunthorpe, I've got, if you fancy another dose of this next week, Scunthorpe have got their women's event, 6 p.m. at New Life. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. Okay, so maybe there'll be a few of us going through there. And then on the 16th of November, okay, the guys from Alford, although it's at the Skegness storehouse, okay, there's a women's day there as well. So there's loads of things going on that you can get to. But today, the event was called The Charge. And I want to talk to us tonight about the charge that I believe God has given us as we're finishing 2019 and as we're going into 2020. I think there's a charge upon our lives that we need to begin to take seriously. And when I say a charge, I don't mean a suggestion. Okay, I don't mean God saying, if you feel like it or if you fancy it. I think there is a charge on us. And I know that this would be the same for the guys. So it's not necessarily just a woman's message, this. But I think there's a charge over womankind to go and do what God has always called her to do. Anyone with me? Okay. And I think if we don't take up the charge and if we don't do what God is asking of us, there will be consequences to that, both for us and for those around us. The consequence is not just for us, it's for those people who don't yet know Jesus. It's for those people in our families that we're praying for. It's for those people in our workplaces. And so tonight, I want to look at what God has charged us with. I can remember when I was younger, we were moving house. And in the new house, just along the street from the new house was the best park in the town. And I was really excited. Okay, I was about 10 years old and it was the best park in the town and it has loads of greenery and there was loads of swings and loads of stuff to do. And so one day I said to my friend, we were still living in our old house then, and I said, let's go to the best park in the town. And like my new house is going to be just by the best park in the town. And a few days before, it was coming up to the summer holidays. And did anyone else do this? My kids don't, right? It's not a tradition that I've carried on. But who used to get new clothes for the summer holidays when you were going away on holiday? Anyone else? It's the Yorkshire people, right? The people who are from Yorkshire. It must have been a Yorkshire thing, okay? And so you used to get new clothes when you went on holiday in the summer. And you'd get like new T-shirts and all that. And my mum had bought me some new sandals. And I thought they were very cool. And they were in the box ready for summer. And I was going to the park one day and I got out my new sandals. And my mum looked at me and she said, you're not going to the park in those. I'm like, but why? They're so cool. They're so nice. She was like, Joe, if you trip in those, it's not going to be good, because they were open-toed and they were like, you know, gorgeous sandals, and they were ready for the summer holidays, and you're meant to go in your holiday best on holiday. I'm not quite sure why. Okay. And so I did what every 10-year-old would do, and I sneaked them out. So I went out in my pumps and I put them in my bag. And when I was around the corner from the street, I changed my footwear. And so we're walking into the park and I'm looking all dapper and cool with my mate. And we go into the park and there were these wooden logs that you could jump over into the park. So we were playing games and we'd been there for about an hour. And I'm like, right, it's time to go home now. And so we'll just have one more go. And so we were jumping over these logs and I tripped on this log. And I broke my toe, okay, my big toe, and mushed up all the nail, and I had a bit of a walk home. So, like, we got home, and I'd got blood on the new sandals. So I couldn't even say I wasn't wearing them, okay? So I just walked in the house with the sandals on, and crying and limping, and my mum's like, what have you... Oh. And she started out with sympathy and ended with a little bit of sympathy, but not as much as I would have got if I'd have broke my toe in my pumps, okay? Because she had given me a command, and she had told me what would happen if I disobeyed said command, and I disobeyed it, and exactly what she said would happen happened. Okay, and so I ended up at the hospital, and we were meant to be going on the Monday. So this was the Saturday. We were meant to be going on the Monday on a school trip, which was a bit of an outdoor-bound thing. And so she was like, well, you're going to miss that as well, aren't you? And I was like, no. And she's like, you have a broken toe. I'm like, I am going to pray. And that toe is going to, and you know what? I prayed and my toe got better. And I think I was a bit, you know, terrible to live with for the next few days. Disobey your mum, but then talk to Jesus because it'll all be okay. All right. And, but she gave me a command. It wasn't like, if you feel like not putting the sandals on, you know, you can go in what you like, but I probably wouldn't advise that you do that. Okay. And I was just like, well, actually, I'm going to do what I want to do because I want to go and have a good time with my mates. I want to, you know, be on the park and I want to wear the cool sandals because they're cool. And now they weren't cool because they had blood stains all over them. And she was like, and we're not getting you any more sandals for your holiday. You just need to wear those. And to a 10-year-old, that is not good. If I said that to my 10-year-old, she would not be happy. Okay. But the thing is, she didn't give me a suggestion. She gave me a command. And I went against the command. And for me, there was consequences to that. I had to wear stained sandals for the rest of the summer. It was not good moments. But I want to say to you tonight that God, I believe, over our lives is giving us a charge. He's given us some things to do. And we're going to look at three scriptures tonight where God charges his people. And he gives them things in this to do that actually, if we ignore it, there's going to be consequence, not just for us, but for those around us. And tonight I want to say to you, ladies, this is not going to be one of those, you know, let's all hug kind of moments. This is going to be a moment with, are we going to stand up and do what God has told us to do? Or are we going to sit back and ignore it? And hopefully things are going to be okay. Because we live in a time and we live in a day where things are not going to be okay. But actually, when God charges us to do something, he will make, the Bible says that he will make the pathway smooth and he will make the ground underneath our feet level. And he will do things that only he can do. And so I want to read to you from three scriptures tonight and look at the charge that God has given us. Is that okay? Do any of you want to leave now? Okay, well, we're going to go. And the first one we're going to look at is 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at the first five verses of this. This is the Apostle Paul, and he is given a charge to Timothy. And Timothy was taking on leadership, and the Apostle Paul was like his leader, if you like. And he was telling him, this is how you need to live your life, Timothy. This is what you need to do. It says this, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, Timothy, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. I can remember when I was brought into ministry here, these are the words that were read over my life. These were the charge that I was given as I took the reins here. And actually, when you read those words, it becomes a very kind of solemn moment when you realize that what God has got for you to do. And I want to say to you that just because that was talking to a leader doesn't mean the charge over our lives is any different. Okay, I think tonight that God is giving us a charge again, ladies, to be the people that God has called us to be. Paul's charge was to Timothy as he leads, but God's charge is to us. I want to list some of the things that Timothy was told to do in Paul's charge to him. He was told to be prepared in season and out of season. He was told to correct, rebuke, and encourage. He was told to be patient. I'll just let that one sink in. He was told, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, tell others about Jesus. Timothy was charged to do those things. And today, so are we. I don't think the charge is any different today as what it was back then. We're all charged to do the same things. This is not a suggestion. Let's get this into our spirit. This isn't a suggestion that God says, you know, if you feel like it, when the time's right, and all your ducks are in a row, and everything's going swimmingly, God says, in every situation, this is how you should live. This is the charge that he has put over your life. It's a commission and one that we need to keep up without constantly having to be reminded. Anyone who works with me will know that the first time we do something, I will explain it really well. And then after that, I'll just expect people to keep up. And one of those leaders, I sometimes forget, you know, once we've done something once with a team, it's just like, right, and now let's just come along for the ride. And I don't always like, you know, give you bullet points and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Today, when we got together to do the crowned event, Liz and Diana, brilliant. We come up with a few ideas in an office 2 months ago and then they just make it happen. And I have great people around me who don't expect me always to be going, and don't forget to do this and don't forget to do that. Because actually, I would forget to say, and don't forget to do this and don't forget to do that. I would forget to do that. Because I'm one of those people that once I've told someone once, I just expect everyone to remember. And, you know, and if we don't, then it doesn't get done. Because I will also forget. Okay, but I want to say to us, God isn't always going to come and remind us, but I want to look at some of those things that Paul told Timothy. He said this, Timothy, be prepared in season and out of season. I've just had an out of season few months. So for those of you who know, back in June, I went into hospital, had a hysterectomy, and I was out of everything for 10 weeks. I had an out of season few weeks, and I went into hospital, so it's like my first day really kind of in my out of season day, and this is just time for me, Lord. I'm going in, I'm having an operation. I went in, I sat on the bed, and there were two beds in the room, and I sat on my bed, and Matt and I were just talking, and they were going to come in and do all the pre-op stuff and all of that kind of stuff, and then in walks the other lady who's in the room with me. She's a lady that used to come to our church, that came to our toddler group. And all of a sudden, I'm like, hi. She's like, Joe, like big hugs. I'm like, Lord, it's my out of season moment, you know? And so like we go through the operation. Mine went swimmingly well and hers really didn't. And so we're halfway through the night. I had 14 to 16 hours of pain, but you know, nothing as bad as this lady had. And so like I press my buzzer for the nurses to come, and the nurse comes running in. What can I do for you, Mrs. Reed? Is everything okay? I'm like, yes, but I don't think she's all right. She can't get to a buzzer. Can you just help this lady? Because she's crying and you know, I couldn't sleep, and please, will you help her? And in the morning, you know, I became comfortable again. I'm not going to go through that. It's a women's conference, but that's way too much information. And so like, I became comfortable again and I could move around and stuff like that. And this lady was just in tears. That moment, I had a choice. Either I was going to be prepared out of season for God to do something in and through me, or I was going to walk away. And I remember getting out of my bed and I pulled up the chair alongside her bed and I just sat and held her hand. I said, tell me what's been going on in your life. She just began to tell me about the last few years. It's been horrendous. She's lost her mum. And I was like, can I just pray with you? She was like, yeah, of course you can. So we sat and we prayed together. And we kept in touch for the next few weeks while she was healing and I was healing. And do you know what, ladies? We've got to be prepared in season and out of season. Because some of you might feel it's out of season for you at the moment, but actually God will bring stuff across your path. That was my out of season. I've done 23 years of ministry here, and that is the first time I've ever taken time off. And on day one, God brought someone along my path. You see, I don't know if we're meant to have out-of-season seasons. I think there are times we need to rest, and there are times when God says it's okay not to do as much, but I don't know if we're ever meant to be out of season. There's something over our lives. There's a charge over our lives. And Paul says to Timothy, be prepared in season and out of season. He says to him, be patient. He says to him, correct, rebuke, and encourage. And then he says, with all patience. Maybe for some of us, we need to hear tonight that the charge is just be patient. Be patient with your circumstance. Be patient with your God. Be patient with how things are. Be patient with your kids. Be patient in situations and stuff that are happening around you. Okay, let's not just rush headlong into everything. But actually, the charge is that we've got to go through life with a patience from God that is going to help us overcome everything that comes across our path. He says to him, Timothy, keep your head in all situations, not in some. Keep your head. Don't go barging into things and think it's okay to do what you want and, you know, come and repent later. Grace, I love preaching on grace. It's probably one of my favorite topics. But, you know, we've taken grace to mean do what you want now and just say sorry later and it will all be okay. That's not what grace is about. Grace is about giving you the power to act and to be who you're meant to be in every situation that you come across. That's the grace of God on you. He says, keep your head. Too many of us lose our temper and lose our head in situations when they come at us. And actually, the charge is this, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. You know, we take every hardship to mean that the enemy's having a go. And sometimes it is that. And sometimes, you know what, it's just life. And we all go through it. If you look at the stories in the New Testament, they went through it more than most of us. Yet they counted it pure joy when things came their way, when they had a chance to show the world who God was. And so Paul charged Timothy with these things. He didn't say a really good idea, Timothy, would be to be prepared in season and out. And he didn't say a really good idea, just try and keep your head. I know sometimes you're going to lose it, but just have a go anyway. He charged him. He commissioned him. He told him, he commanded him, this is what you need to do. And ladies, I think it's the same for us still today. The second charge I want to look at, if you know your Bible at all, it's a very well-known passage of scripture. And it says this in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. We're going to read it together. It says, he's shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And I think this charge is still the same today, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. If there is one thing that I hate in life, it's injustice. I have always been like it. I would take anything as in being told off unless I hadn't done it. If I hadn't done it, I would not let it go. If I hadn't done it, do not try and pin it on me because it will not happen. Okay. And I've had a situation recently where I felt my boy was treated unjustly. Don't treat my kids unjustly if you want me to stay quiet. And I can remember having a conversation with my husband and he's going, but I can see the point. I'm like, I do not see the point. This should not have happened. And I said, I did try to submit, right? And I said to him, what do you think we should do? He said, well, it's not going to make any difference if you say anything. This was the conversation between me and Math. This is how different we are. Joe, is it going to make any difference? I'm like, that is not the point. The point is my complaint should be registered. Okay. And he's like, but if it's not going to make any difference, there's no point going on about it. I'm like, there is a point because this shouldn't have happened. And in the end, I went and I tried to deal with the situation. And Math was right. It didn't make any difference. But you know the difference it does make? That when my boy thinks about his mum, he goes, she'll stand up for me. It makes a difference because I know that I have done all I can to change the situation. I know I've done all I can to make my voice heard in the situation. And I know when he looks back on that, he is going to see someone who stood up for him. Do you know what I think it's about time as the church? And I'm not saying that we stand up in a negative or in an ugly way, but I think that there are things that God puts on our hearts that we need to stand up for. Do you know what? There is an innate part of us, ladies. Especially, I think, in women, and I know that guys get this as well, but I think especially in us, I think God is looking for those women who will stand up for others and who will have a heart for people. There's an innate part of us that loves compassion and wants to see others thrive. And I want to say to you tonight that I think the enemy has tried to do away with that by trying to make us be more male than what we are. Now, you need to get to know me, okay? Because I'm not the kind of... I'm not very female sometimes. Can I say that? I'm a leader. And sometimes, you know, I've struggled with that being a girl. I've struggled with, you know, that side of me that is very male. But do you know what? I know the enemy's done it in my life. He's tried to rob me of that bit of me that is very female, very feminine, where it comes to loving people. Where it comes to compassion, where it comes to taking people that are broken and loving them back to life, where it comes to that compassionate yet fierce love that we possess. And if you want to see compassionate yet fierce love, look at a mother. We're compassionate, but we are fierce. You do not mess with our kids. And I know that dads are like that too. We've got some great role models of that in the house tonight, but there is something in you, ladies, that is compassionate yet fierce. Don't ever lose that. Because God's charge over us is that we are to act justly. Don't allow the world to knock this out of you so that you can get ahead in it. You know, we're to act justly, we're to see injustice, and we are to stand on behalf of those who have no voice. We are to stand on behalf of those who cannot stand for themselves. And then it says this, that we're to love mercy. Do you know what? We have been people who have received mercy from God, and so we should be a conduit of mercy. It should flow through us. Mercy means that we don't get what we deserve. We deserve death, and we deserved time, you know, life without God, and we didn't deserve the cross, and yet Jesus had mercy on us. And the Bible says this, that mercy always triumphs judgment. It always triumphs over judgment. I don't know if you've seen in Facebook this week, but there's been the thing in the States of the policewoman who ended up killing someone. And she was sentenced this year to 10 years in prison. And before the court case ended, the brother of the person, the brother of the deceased, began to talk about forgiveness. And he said, before you take her away, can I just come and give her a hug? And so many people have watched the video of that that's happened. And he went and he embraced the person that he should never really have embraced. He loved mercy. And there's a charge over our life to act justly and to love mercy. There is so much in my life that I don't deserve that God has given me. And now I need to come and pay it forward. I need to love mercy. And not just the mercy that's been given to me, but the mercy that I need to extend to the world that I live in. And then it says that we need to walk humbly. And I just put down here that this is to walk in complete surrender to God, whatever the cost, whatever the situation. We're to walk humbly. When we walk humbly, we will lift others up. There'll be no comparison and no competition. Lord, give us a world where a company of women can lift one another up without there being any competition or any comparison, where we prefer one another, where we come and in our surrender to Christ, we trust God enough that we can lift someone else up. When we walk humbly, it means that we will give God the praise and not wait for it for ourselves. It doesn't mean that we're not good at anything. It doesn't mean that we're weak. In fact, humble people are some of the strongest people this world will ever see. And we're to walk humbly with our God. We're to give him the praise, not wait for it for ourselves. And when we walk humbly, and God really began to reveal this to me, that is when we'll just keep walking. And walking. And walking. And whatever comes our way, we'll be walking. and we'll be moving and we'll be going forward. Whatever the enemy throws at us, we'll be walking and we'll keep walking and we'll keep hand in hand with God. And when we're walking humbly in absolute surrender to everything that he has got for us in season and out of season, when we are walking like that, we will just keep going. Do you know what? The world needs some women who will get something inside them that just make them keep going. When everyone else is flaking off, when everybody else is, you know, can't carry on, actually there'll be something, there'll be a stamina that is in us that just keeps going. I'm not saying it'll be easy. And I am not putting down anyone's hardship, but sometimes in hardship, that is the time we just need to keep putting one foot in front of another. It's the time when we just need to keep walking. It's the time when we need to surrender again to God and to his plans and his ways and his thoughts and his desires. And we just need to keep walking. And I know it's not easy. I've been around the block a few times. I get that. I've had life happen a few times. I understand that. But this is also, because I've been around the block a few times and because I know that this to be true, I know when I keep my hand in his, when I keep surrendered to his ways and not my ways, when I tell God, God, I'm yours, whatever the cost, whatever is going on, this is what I know, that eventually I'll walk out of that circumstance and I'll look back and I will see the goodness of God. It says in Psalm 23 that his goodness and his mercy, they follow me all the days of my life. They chase after me. I think it's the message that puts it that way. And tonight, ladies, we are charged to keep walking. Those people in your world need you to keep walking. Those kids in your world that you've been praying for a long time need you to keep walking. Those are the women that God is going to put you alongside. They need you to keep walking. And then the third thing that I want to talk to you about tonight, we find in Acts 1, the third charge, verses 4 to 8. These are the last words of Jesus on earth. This is the last thing he said to his disciples before he went to heaven. And the same charge applies to you and to me. Verse 4, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, this charge. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus' final words, his final charge was this: you are to be my witness. That hasn't changed. He says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And I want to say, and as I've been getting this together in the last few weeks, God began to speak to me, said, what would it look like if a group of women got hold of this charge? What would Louth look like? What would Grimsby look like? What would Scunthorpe look like? What would Alford look like if people got hold of this charge and really began to run with it? What would Lincolnshire look like? If we got this and we began to pick up the charge again, and not play church and not just come and you know, have our nice events. And I love these nights and we're going to carry on with them. Why? Because we want to empower people to live the life that God has got for them. That is the only reason that we do it. That is the only reason that church exists, is so that actually we can meet together and we can be empowered for the life that God has got for us. And I want to say to us today, ladies, what would it look like if we got hold of this? If we loved mercy, if we acted justly, if we walked humbly, what would it look like? What would it look like, You know, if we were prepared in season and out of season, if we were patient, if we, you know, kept our head in all situations, what would it look like if we waited until the Holy Spirit anointed us and then we went out and we witnessed and we went out and we showed Jesus and we went out and let the life of God come out of us? What would it look like? What would your workplace look like? What would your family look like? What would the streets of our towns and villages look like? What would our county look like? That's why I'm so glad that there's more than just us Louth people here tonight, because this isn't something that I think is just for here. This is something I think that is wider. What would it look like? What would our world look like if we picked up the charge and if we ran with it? You see, we're not meant to walk defeated. We're meant to walk in power. That's why God says, come together, let me anoint you with the Holy Spirit, and then go out. If you read the book of Acts, they got together in the upper room and they were there and the Holy Spirit fell, and then they went out and then people were added to the church. Because they went out in the full power of God. We're not meant to be isolated, ladies. We're meant to be united. We're not meant to be on our own. You in your small corner and I in mine. You know, we're not meant to be by ourselves. We're meant to be united. It's not meant to be, you know, you guys stay over in Scunthorpe over there. Actually, there's meant to be a unity between places, between people. We're not meant to be isolated. Yet so many of us live like that. So many of us live isolated. So many of us live and kind of say, no one will really care if I'm going through this. Actually, we need to have a bit of a change in the church today where actually we don't allow people to stay isolated, but we bring in inclusion in a bigger way. Because we're never meant to walk on our own. We're meant to walk with others. And lastly, we're not meant to be silent. We're meant to raise our voice. For too long, we've been quiet. For too long, we've been silent, and we're meant to raise our voice. We're meant to run with the charge that God has given us. And that's not always corporately. For some of us, that will be individually. We need to raise our voice. Some of you need to know tonight, you have something to say. You have something to say into your circumstance and into your situation. God wants to give you some words to say over your family. He wants to give you some words to say over those things that are going on in your locality, in your area. Okay, you have a voice. So tonight, God charges us. I believe this is a real word from the Holy Spirit tonight. He charges us with these things. He comes and he says, will you stand? Will you make a choice tonight? Will you allow the choice you make to change your location? God, will you meet us here? A group of women that the world may look at and go, what can they do? And all heaven looks at and goes, wait and see. Just you wait. If we will grab a hold of the charge that God has given us, if we'll grab a hold of the charge and run with it. Because let me tell you, if we don't, there's a world that's going to spend eternity without Jesus. If we don't put our weakness and his power together, there's a world, there are people that need us to do this. There's people on the other side of our obedience tonight that need us to come and allow the Holy Spirit to do something in us. And some of you might be sitting there and going, but you don't know. You're right, I don't. I don't. But I do know, whether in season or out of season, God calls to us. And even in our out of season moments, even when I am laying in a hospital bed and I literally could not move. I could press a buzzer. so that the lady next to me could be okay. I could pray. I couldn't move, but I could pray. I could tilt my head and say, "Are you doing okay?" And then when I could get up, I could go and sit at her bedside and hold her hand and say, "Can I just pray with you?" I didn't go into hospital thinking necessarily that that would happen. But God uses every season of your world, in season or out of season. And tonight, if you're here and you're saying, you know, I just need the Holy Spirit to just come and touch my life. I just want you to stand to your feet. Holy Spirit, will you come and, because the Bible says that God, you can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even think. But it's according to the power of God at work in me. It's not just down to you, God. It's down to me. And I'm going to take the charge. And I'm going to take everything you can give me, Holy Spirit. And I'm going to run with it. I'm going to run like I've never run before. I'm going to run. Watch out, Lincolnshire. Because there's going to be a group of women with fire in their bellies that are going to begin to run and take seriously the charge that God has given us.